Turn to somebody and tell them, welcome to church. Or I said, turn to somebody, smile and tell them, welcome to church. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. David said that I'd rather be in the house of the Lord than be anywhere else. Hallelujah. It doesn't have to be a special program. I am here. Amen. So I also want to say thank you to Pastor Gloria for holding the fort for the last however many weeks. She has done very well. She couldn't wait to pass the baton. I don't know why. I always enjoy her preach, honestly. I always do. I'd rather she preach than I preach. I'll leave it there. Acts chapter 2. I don't want to get in trouble. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 42 to 46. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 46. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with gladness and sincere hearts. Here ends the reading of his holy word. Oh, are you alive? Amen. We started talking about foundations, and I said to you that I want to continue talking about foundations throughout this year. Amen. It doesn't matter what topic we are discussing, I want to keep to the same theme of foundation. And today, as the month is scopus, which means purpose, I want to continue with the foundational purpose of the church. Hallelujah. If you like, the purpose of the church. You know, they say that when a purpose of something is not known, abuse is inevitable. Hallelujah. When you don't know the right purpose of a thing, when you don't know the purpose of a thing, you are likely to abuse it. And as far as I'm concerned, the most abused institution in the world today is the church. Hallelujah. It has been abused by politicians. It has been abused by the general public. And it has been also abused by us ourselves as Christians. We have abused the church and we have abused everything. And see, when you want to find the foundation of anything, it's best to go to the first mention. It's best to go as close to the first mention as possible to get the exact reason, the exact purpose of that thing. Hallelujah. And I've taken us back to the first church. The first church is the church in Jerusalem. It's not the first church, because the first church, the ecclesia, was in the wilderness. That is where Moses led the people. Are you with me? It was a church, even though it was a nation. Are you with me? And the same way, the first church that Jesus instituted was a nation, in quotes. Amen. So we are going to look at some of the fundamentals of the church. Why is the church in existence? What is the church supposed to be doing at this point? Because if you don't know it, you would think that the minor is the major, and the major is the minor. The church of Christ today, we are majoring on minor things. The things that Jesus taught very little about is what we are majoring on. The things that Jesus was very passionate about, we have relegated it to the background. Are you getting what I'm saying? We have relegated the purpose of the church to a minor event. That is why, you see, when you don't know the purpose, the thing you are holding becomes irrelevant. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Say, for instance, you have an iron, a pressing iron, which is supposed to be used to iron clothes. And you don't know the purpose for it. You can easily use it for a hammer. But you see, the pressing iron is not as strong as a hammer. So if you are using it to hammer things down, it won't do the best job. At some point, you will destroy it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because you are using it all right, but you are using it all wrong. I don't know where you're getting it. You are using it all right, but you are using it all wrong. So the church is being used all right, but the church is being used all wrong. And that is why the church is not being as effective as it ought to be. Because we measure on things that sound important, sound relevant, sound to be the invoked thing, but it's not. Because the main thing is the main thing and will ever remain the main thing. Hallelujah. So we are going to go through some of the things that are the main thing. The first thing is the first thing that the man who instituted the church left us with. Remember in Matthew 16:18, he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not. Is it 16:18? Thereabout. See, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So it means that it's his church. 16:18. And also I say to you, I'm Peter, and on this rock I will build what? My church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So if it is his church, then what he says about his church must mean something. Are you? Because it's all about him and his church. Because he's building his church. He has a reason. Everybody that builds something has a reason why they build a thing. Am I making sense? Everybody that builds something has a reason. The Microsoft was built for a purpose. The person who had the idea to build the Microsoft had a reason and knew exactly what he wanted the thing he was building to do. Am I making sense? So you use it for anything else, it will not be as effective. And when he was leaving, he said this, go into the world and make what? Disciples, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, said, go into the world and make disciples of me. Hallelujah. Preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. Go and preach the gospel. The one who instituted the church said, go and preach the gospel. So the purpose, the first purpose of the church is to evangelize. So a church that does not major on evangelism is majoring on the minor thing. Can I say that again? A church that does not major on evangelism is majoring on the minor things. A church is not there for worship. A church is not there for miracles, signs, and wonders necessarily. A church is not there to, empower people. A church is not there to, because, and all these things are the major things that we are doing now. We teach financial literacy, we teach empowerment, we teach people how to live, and all those things are important, all those things are great, but that is not the purpose of the church. Hello? Mark chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. He says that you must go preach the gospel and make disciples. So the only institution that has been mandated by God on the earth to make disciples and to evangelize is the church and nothing else, nobody else. We are supposed to go preach the gospel to everybody. So every one of us, we have this duty. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. The conditional clause here is that I'll be with you always as you go and preach the gospel. I don't know whether you're getting it. It says that lo, that means bear in mind, I am with you always when you are doing what I've asked you to do. Could it be the reason why God has left the church? I don't know whether you're hearing me. I sound muffled. I don't sound... Pastor Kian, can you help with it? Make me a little clearer. I sound like I'm talking through my nose. Can you hear what I'm saying? Yeah. Because I am going to be with you always as you go and make disciples of me. We're having we're coaching a church. I don't know, Pastor Sam, whether you remember. I sometimes do coaching for churches. We're coaching a church, and I was saying to the church that each week you are supposed to get at least one or two people come to the service as first timers, which means that in 52 weeks, is it 50? How many weeks in a year? 52 weeks, you are supposed to get 126 people come through. 104 people come through the doors. And the one pastor said, no, we don't get, the best we get is maybe one soul every maybe quarter. I don't know whether you remember the church we're having. And I just said something and we moved on. But when we finished, I called the bishop to one side. And I said, this thing that this pastor said is worrying. If my pastor said that, I will have a meeting with him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because getting new people through the door is not an important thing for the pastor. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I'm wondering, what is the purpose of the church therefore? If the church cannot guarantee at least two people every Sunday, and even two people every Sunday is a very conservative number. I don't care the size of the church. If you cannot get two people come through the doors of the church every Sunday, there is a problem with the church. And therefore, there's a problem with everybody in the church. Everybody in the church is very, very selfish. Everybody in the church is very inward looking. Do you understand? It's like, I am safe, to hell with everybody else. That is what you are saying. But you are saved to save. That is the purpose of your salvation. Your salvation is not meant for you alone. That is why God said that when you are saved, your whole family is saved. Do you understand why? Because we take it for granted that you make sure that your household is following you to God. So if you are there and you never speak to anybody about Christ, you never invite anybody to the kingdom, you never work on anybody to come to the kingdom of God, there is something wrong with you. You don't have to be a pastor, you don't have to be a minister or anything to be a soul winner. You just have to be a Christian. And if you're a Christian, then that is your duty. Amen. And every church that does not major on soul winning, department, every congregation. I mean, if you don't major on soul winning, then there's a problem with you. I remember I used to have a big problem with the musicians in this church. You know what the problem was? They were so much in love with themselves playing that they never made room for anybody else to play. So anybody who joins to play, as the person is playing, they intimidate the person. They stand, then they'll be looking at the person funny. It's like, you are not welcome here. They say, you are not on our standard. You don't know how to play like us. So my friend, get out. I say, hey, this is not a recording studio. This is only a means to an end. The end is to win a soul. So I know you are the best keyboardist, but get off the keyboard. Let somebody else come and play. They may not play as good as you, but we want them to play. You sit down and watch them play. Hallelujah. It took them a long time to understand what I meant. Now they have understood. I said, I know you are the best keyboard. I know you are the best drummer. I know you are, but shift. Just shift. Because the people who started playing, if they had remained there, you wouldn't have come. This place is only a junction that you enter. You know, it's like an off-ramp that you enter. Junction 34. You are joining the motorway. You join junction 34. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if the keyboard is junction 34, that is it. The choir, if it's just a junction. So get them in. Allow them into the choir. They don't sing as good as... No. We are not doing Britain's Got Talent here. Or you don't like... Let's Pastor Gloria come back again. My examples are not the best. We are not looking for talented solo artists. No, we are looking for more people. Anybody must be able to join and train them. As a choir director, I always said that the voice is a muscle like the hand. It doesn't matter how weak your hand is. If you go to the gym every day and you train, you know, conscientiously, it's only a matter of time you will be strong and you'll be able to pick up heavier weights. Everybody can sing. Everybody can sing. You need to do a little bit more practice. You see why I don't like standing here when I'm preaching. Let me go back to where I'm comfortable. Hallelujah. You know, the legends at the back, make room. Make room for people to come in. It is not about how good you are on the cameras, how good you are on the gadgets. No, it's not about that. It's about getting more people in. There are some people, what is their interest? Their interest is in gadgets and everything. So you put them there. It's the junction they enter the house of God with. So put them there. Let them be comfortable there so they can enter. Because it's about more people. Every quarter, I call the pastors together and I ask them, how many people have come to your church? And if you don't give good answers, then we have a major problem. Hallelujah. Because this thing is about souls. The nightclubs are looking for more souls. The crack house is looking for more souls. Asda is looking for more souls. Even the Instagram want more souls. Even LFC, Leeds Fried Chicken, they are looking for more souls. You know Leeds Fried Chicken? It's just down the road. Don't eat from there. Hallelujah. They sell them dead chickens. Oh, Pastor Sam, you get me in trouble. They only kill dead chickens. So the chicken has to die when they kill it. They kill it twice. Pastor Sam said it, not me. Hallelujah. So every church must be conscious about winning souls. Every church, the main thing we have to worry about is how many new people are entering into the doors. How many new first timers, and the first timers must be treated with much care and importance because they are the most important people. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's not about us. This is not about us. It's about them. Are you with me? The church is there because of them. That is why Jesus gave that parable of the 99 sheep. When that one sheep was lost, he left the 99 and went after the one lost sheep and brought, why? Because the 99 don't need saving. They've been saved already. The church doesn't need saving. It has been saved already. You all don't need another preach sermon. You've been sermonized already. You have heard all the sermons. You know all my sermons. You know all my jokes. I've preached over 1,000 sermons in this church alone. More than 1,000 sermons. And they're all on podcasts and everything. So you know all my jokes. You know everything I'm going to say. I'm not saying anything new. After 1,500 sermons, really. What am I going to say that is new? Are you getting what I'm saying? So sometimes we as preachers, we get bored coming to talk to you. Because the thing that we are saying to you, you have heard us saying it, it hasn't done anything for you. You didn't do anything with it, and we have to come and say it because it's Sunday, we have to come and talk again. When new people come, and as a choir director, I always wanted new people because when you get bored singing the same songs and with the same people, it's very boring. When new people come in, then they come. So when someone comes who can sing better than you, then you see the old people are feeling like they have to rise up. So as a choir director, that's my best. I want new people to come and challenge those who think that they are. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, in the same way, we want new fresh blood all the time. That's why evangelism must be the most important program in the church. It shouldn't be the least attended. Hallelujah. We have been praying. God has been answering our prayer. We all have testimonies. We've been praying. God has been promoting us. We've been praying. God has. At some point, you have to do something with the promotion and the blessings that God has given. Don't keep asking God for more. Or you don't understand what I'm saying. That's why if you look at Acts of the Apostles, the most important and prevalent thing that they kept doing was evangelism and growing. So they started with 3,000, then they went to 5,000, then they were growing. Why? Because when God is in the place and you are doing the purpose of God, then he is with you. Miracle signs and wonders are happening. More people are being added and the number keeps growing and growing daily. But when you become introverted and you become selfish and you become, you know, into yourself, and the sermon is about how God will bless you and how we are a nice family. We don't have to be a nice family that we like each other and that will stop with us. No. How many people are in the city? If the city has nearly 1 million people and you are supposed to be the light of this world, light of the city, and you don't even have a 10% of the congregation or of the population in your church, then there's something wrong. If you put all the churches together, I don't think we have even 50,000 people in Leeds. Meanwhile, the football team has more than that. And they are in the second division or first. I don't even know where they are now. Pastor Sam prayed them into number two. The church of God is supposed to bring attention of God to the population. We are supposed to be the signpost of the city to God. So the first one is evangelism. The second one is that we are supposed to signpost the city to God. I wrote in the Contagious Church that if the church were to close its doors and the community does not miss the church, then the church is a quarantine church. If, for instance, something happens and CICC, our doors are closed for 3 weeks and our neighbors don't miss us being here, then we are a quarantine church. We are not a contagious church. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying? The church is supposed to be so vibrant that everybody knows that if you want salvation, this is where to go. If you want prayer, this is where to go. If you want counseling, this is where to go. We signpost people to God. Can we say that about ourselves? Are we signposting people to God? Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23. Listen to what the prophet wrote. Zechariah prophesied. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23. He made a prophecy. I want you to read it quickly. He said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeves," quickly, "of a Jewish man, saying, 'Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you.'" 10 people will hold this, the shirt of a Jewish, of a Christian, and say, "We have heard that God is with you. Go and show us God. Signpost us to God." Do people come to you when they are in crisis? When they are in crisis, do they call on you? Your coursemates, your work colleagues, if they need help, do they come to you and say, "Pray for me"? Or they don't even know that you're a Christian. The place is quiet. Pastor Gloria, I think you should come and take over. Oh? Eh? I can transfer myself back to Africa, you know. Isaiah. The place has gone so quiet, I'm getting nervous. Okay. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5-7. "This is what God says, the creator of the heavens, who stretched them out, who spreads out the earth with all the springs from it, and who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you, and you will make me a covenant for the people, a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeons those who sit in darkness." Hallelujah. So we are supposed to do what? We are supposed to make a covenant and be a light to the Gentiles, number one. Open the eyes of the blind, number two. Set the captives free, number three. Release those who are depressed, those who are oppressed, from the dungeon and the darkness that they sit in. Hallelujah. Oh, people, you are too quiet for me today. Come on. This is a Wednesday service. It's not a Sunday service. Well, I should start sharing jokes. Do you remember the joke I told you about the prisoners? They had been in prison for years, and they had 5 jokes. And they have shared the 5 jokes among themselves to the point that they were tired of their 5 jokes. So somebody said, "Number one." Then they all start laughing because they know the joke for number one. They will be there. Somebody say number four. Then they start laughing because they know the joke on number four. At least that got you laughing. Let's go back. Hallelujah. We are supposed to open the eyes. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Are you tired of reading verse scriptures? Though I am less than the least of the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of the mysteries which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. 10. His intent was that now through the church, somebody say through the church. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So through the church, the mysteries that were hidden for many years is supposed to become evident and made plain. God, as we keep pointing people to God, then the mysteries surrounding God, the Godhead, the mysteries of God become something that, it's a revelation. Now we can understand. Hallelujah. We are supposed to be the signpost to God. But see, when people come to church, all they hear is how powerful we are as pastors, we are as preachers, we are as this and that and that and that. They don't see God. That is why they won't come again. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not about us. It's about Him. Hallelujah. Anything you do for anybody in the house of God is not about you. It's not about how good you are. It's not about how, great Christian you are. No, it's about God. And you must always signpost them to God. That's the purpose of the church. Hallelujah. We are the representatives of God. That's why the Bible says, now are we ambassadors. An ambassador never points anything to themselves. The ambassador may be the one that negotiates, the peace deal. The ambassador may be the one that negotiates money to be invested in this country. But that is not his money. He must never say, I was the one that brokered the peace. I was the one that made that whatever job come to this. No, it's not about you. It's about the government. Because you represent the government. Hallelujah. And we represent the government of heaven. So anything and everything we do is about the government of heaven. Because the government of heaven is the one that has mandated us and authorized us to be here. If the government revokes our license, we are gone. Hallelujah. I don't care how good an ambassador you are. I don't care how much you love the country that you are in. If the government says we are recalling you, you have to sit on the plane and go. Hallelujah. Number three. Are we getting something? The church is also the lens through which we see God clearly. They sound like the same point, but they are not. A pair of spectacles is an object through which we see things clearly. It's not about the beauty of the designer, the frame. It's not about the beauty of the glasses that is important, but the duty of the glasses is to make things evident, to make things, to enlarge things, to make things clearer. Are you with me? So when the glasses, as beautiful as it is, does not give us a clear image of the object that we are supposed to be looking at, It's no good. It's no good to the person who is looking through, and it's no good to the object, because the object cannot be seen properly. The reason why God has left the designer church is because the designer church is not revealing God clearly. I don't know whether you get to what I'm saying. The church, we are majoring on aesthetics. We are majoring on making our frame beautiful. We are majoring on making ourselves look very, very powerful and everything. But the main thing that we are supposed to do to reveal God to the people, we haven't done that. And so when God looks at this glass that I bought, it was so expensive. I paid with my blood. But the glasses is always looking at the aesthetics, the frame, the gold, frame and all that, without cleaning the lens and making the lens match the darkness of the eye that is about to look into. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. Because not every glass has the exact, lens. Somebody's eye is dim. Somebody's eye is short-sighted, so they need, somebody's eyes are bad, so they need a stronger lens. So it's like minus 2 plus somebody's 4.8. They need goggles. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This pair of glasses is no good to Pastor Gloria. Because when she uses my glasses, she can't see. Because her eyes are gone. A little bit more than mine. When I take hers, I can't see anything because it's too strong. I feel like going woo, woo, woo when I look through because it's like it's too strong for me. I remember once I misplaced mine and I wanted to read something badly. And I made a mistake too. It's like the whole thing was, if I was better off without it. I was better off. So sometimes some people are better off without the church. Because the church is so weak or so strong in the wrong things that people are better off without the church. I'm saying some very strong things. We are supposed to be the lens through which. It's not about how hurt you are. Never ever preach through anger. Never preach through bitterness. Because you tint the lens.
You're preaching.
Are you getting what I'm saying? If you go to the Old Testament, one day I'll take my time and walk us through Leviticus. You see that the priest must never have boils. The priest, when you have wounds, you are not allowed to preach. The priest must not wear things that will restrict your movement. Because all those things come through your preaching. It comes through the sermon, the lens through which people see God. Am I making sense? Yeah. A head pastor has no business behind a pulpit. Some of you, hey, sir. Sorry. Some lady in the corner has done something, and then you come and stand here for the 45 minutes. We are listening to you, your grievance on one human being. And then we are all sitting, hey, where is the fire going? Who's missile? Who is this missile that has been launched? Who is the intended target? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10 to 12. Remember the day you stood before the Lord, your God, at Horeb, when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. Hallelujah. See that? He told me to gather you. And when I brought you guys, he spoke clearly. It's not, Moses didn't say, I spoke to you. That's not what he said. He spoke to you. Out of the clouds. You didn't see him, but you heard him clearly. We are not supposed to see him physically, but we are supposed to hear him clearly. So that the pastor is almost transparent. The pastor is not seen. The eyeglasses must not be seen. The lens is what we are looking for. Brother pastor, shift. Let us see God. We want to hear his voice clearly. If you haven't heard him, don't come and tell us what you think. Oh, I don't think you hear. You like what I said. The preaching of the gospel is not for an agenda. The preaching of the gospel must be very clear, must be very authentic, must come through clearly. As a lens through which we see God. Let me give you the last one, then we go home. Are you learning purpose? Yes. The purpose of the church is to be the classroom of discipleship training. Remember he said, make disciples of me? Yeah. It's where we train people to be disciples. Is discipleship training. It's a training ground to breed disciples. Amen? It's a place where people come to hear and become. Amen. It's not just to hear, but hear and become. Hallelujah. They are supposed to be there to hear and become. So a church that does not raise ministers, a church that is not a conveyor belt of apostles, deacons, evangelists, and all that, is a church that is doing the wrong thing. Can I say that again? A church that is not churning out pastors, is not churning out evangelists, is not churning out apostles, is a church that is majoring on the minor things. Amen. Are you hearing me? The way you are quiet, I'm worried. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So Christ himself gave apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip the people for work of service so that the body may be built up. Amen. until they reach the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So we are supposed to sharpen people and bring them to maturity. Hallelujah. To equip them, to disciple them until they get to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. He goes on to say that we be no more as children tossed about to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Because, you see, what happens is that when we are talking and talking and talking and not taking our time to train people properly, we have a bunch of babies who have been in the church for 50 years, for 20 years, for 30 years, and they're still not matured. So any wind of doctrine that comes, it's like infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of doctrine. Go with me quickly. Every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of people in their deceitful schemings. Hallelujah. Instead of speaking the truth. So what brings about maturity is what? Truth. In love. Because truth without love can be painful. Becomes something else. What you are saying is true. But you are killing people. So my job is not, you see, when she was preaching, I never did this to her. The pastor must not have balls. You see, so my job is to equip you, train you until you get to the place where you can also be a pastor and speak. And to do that, I have to train you. I have to speak the truth to you. I have to equip you, but I have to do it in love. Hallelujah. Yeah. The reason why we still have pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists on the earth is because other pastors, apostles, evangelists train them. And we ought to train others. So it's a training process all the time. All the time. That's why if you are in a living church, you see people in the church are becoming pastors. If you are in a dead church, nobody becomes a pastor. Oh, you didn't understand what I'm saying? Because if you are in a living church, the church is supposed to be a conveyor belt. The things that you have received from me among many witnesses, the same teach to others. Commit to faithful men who will teach others also. So we must keep churning people. Yeah. That's why if you stay in my church for long, there are one or two things that will happen. I won't tell you what it is. Hallelujah. Amen. The church is supposed to disciple people. And to disciple people means you must learn how to whip people when you have to whip them. Oh, you don't like that bit. In this day and age, a lot of us, we don't like being whipped. As soon as I bring the cane to the next church, you only like the lollies and what do you call it? Lollipop and McDonald's, kids' meal, happy meal. With a toy, squeeze, when you squeeze, you go, fee-fee, fee-fee, and that's what you like. No. If you are going to be a disciple, you will come into my office, I'll lock the door behind you, you will sit down, and then we'll have a session. And then I will tell you, clean your face. And I open the door. And then make sure you smile. training. It says that, the Bible says that, if I don't whip you, means I don't love you. He that the Father loveth, he chastens. Why? It's because it's part of discipleship. Have you been whipped before? Several times. Sister? If you haven't been whipped, it means you haven't reached a certain level. Somebody has put their hand there and said, oh, if people knew. Hallelujah. Are you okay with me so far? Yeah. That is the purpose of the church. That is the purpose of the church. The church is not here for decoration. We are not here to talk about everything. See, sometimes in our insecurity as pastors, we want you to rely on us alone, so we don't teach you how to know God for yourself. So that for the rest of your life, you only have to come through me. You get what I'm saying? No, but that is not the purpose. That's not the. I need to train you and show you God so that you can go to God yourself. Hallelujah. Are we okay? Can we continue next week? Stand to your feet.